The word of God for this morning from Matthew chapter 11. Hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Jesus teaches us about his Father's invitation. I shall never forget the scene of arriving for our Fort Walton Beach vacation and seeing all kinds of emergency vehicles at the access of the beach near our vacation condo. A man, not an old man, a young middle-aged man, had drowned due to a riptide. And I looked at the ocean and it didn't look the least bit threatening. And yet he had drowned. What some of you certainly already know is that a riptide is a current that can pull a swimmer offshore, way offshore. The more accurate and technical term for this is rip current. A riptide is what we usually popularly call it, but it's a rip current. It's estimated that 100 people die every year due to rip currents. That seems like a lot of people. What makes them so lethal is that people panic as they try to swim right back to the shore. And they grow more and more fatigued as they try to swim back to the shore. And finally, they drown. If caught in a rip current, you shouldn't fight it. You should swim parallel to the beach and then make an angle toward the beach and you'll come back and not panic. Now, there are rip currents in life. They come in the form of worries, troubles, burdens, crises. They can panic us. But for sure, they're going to fatigue you and make you very tired. In 1863, the Civil War was raging and the end was far from sight. Abraham Lincoln went off with a ride with his friend and aide Noah Brooks. And Brooks looked into Abraham's face, Abraham Lincoln's face, the president's face, and he could just see how tired he was. And he suggested that when they get back to the White House, they needed to take a rest. In other words, a nap. "A rest," Lincoln replied. "I don't know about a rest. I suppose it's good for the body, but the tired part of me is inside and out of reach." You know, physical fatigue is not a bad thing unless you overdo it. No, it's the fatigue that comes from worry, guilt, troubles, burdens. It's fatigue that comes from emotional and mental stress that can drown us. Now, we worry about the future. We also worry about the past. The rest we need is not the 8 hours of sleep a night, as good as that is, not the power naps, not the vacations. Of course, I want all of that, don't you? I mean, we want that kind of rest too. But the rest that we really need is the one that touches our inner self, our soul, our soul. A fatigued and burdened you, and I'm talking about your souls now, become energyless, but worse, bitter, cynical, discouraged. Now, we know the obvious signs of physical fatigue. After exercise, you know it's the telltale signs of being very thirsty, maybe sweaty, out of breath, an overwhelming desire to sit down. But the signs that your soul is tired, well, that's not as obvious. Our soul doesn't come with a gauge that says it's nearly empty. And our soul craves the rest that Jesus Christ alone can bring. But there are indicators. Here are some possible indicators that your soul has grown very fatigued, very tired. You worry about everything. You're tired. Your soul is tired. You have a sense of foreboding. Things seem to bother you more than they should. Your soul is tired. It's hard to make a decision. You are more easily tempted. These are all indicators that your soul needs rest, maybe desperately. Our scripture this morning is so powerful and so significant to our lives because of the invitation. Come to me. It's the Father's invitation that he sends through Jesus Christ. Come to me. It was Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection means that he can save us from everything we need saving from. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Have you been weary and burdened before? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm not talking about physical fatigue. I'm talking about the stress, the worry, the crises that come into your life. Are we going to have enough money, right? You know, or, oh my goodness, my loved one has betrayed me. All the things that happen in our life that stress us and make us really soul tired. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Augustine once said this correctly, "We are restless until we rest in thee." It's one of his most famous quotes, and the reason it is because it's so accurate. We are restless until we rest in thee. This rest comes to us in Jesus because of his forgiveness, the hope that he gives, the peace he gives, the reassurance of his unending love for us. He gives that to us. And then Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." That's, you know, in our day, that's kind of a strange idea, a yoke. I know you're smart people, and I know you know what a yoke is, but just in case, a yoke is most commonly associated with oxen and other animals that are harnessed together so they can help farmers plow. It was a kind of crossbar with two U-shaped pieces that encircle the necks of the oxen. You know, the legend is that Jesus was followed his father in a carpentry shop and that they made yokes. And in fact, legend has it that they made yokes that were so perfect that they were used for four centuries. To be yoked with Christ is allow him to share the burden of your daily lives. To take the weight of these burdens off of us. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. But all this invitation says to us is something I think that's really very significant. Jesus is teaching us how to live. First, he's telling us and making it very clear, you need rest. To ignore soul's need for rest is to see your life be caught up in a rip current of worry, burdens, and troubles and crises. And even worse, to be carried further and further and further away from God without your even knowing it. In fact, there are so many people today, they don't even know it. I'm all right, everything's okay with me, and yet they're being carried by the rip currents. They're being carried further and further away from God. And they don't even recognize it. Your rest is to be found in worship. You know, you're being rested right now. Now, I don't want you to fall asleep. I don't want you to be that rested physically. But you are. God is giving you his rest. It's to be found in the Lord's Supper. It's to be found in the Word of God. I think it's an important thing when you come to worship the Lord that, as the song said, and beautiful song for today, you know, to lay down your burdens. But it's not so much what you do, it's what Jesus does in a worship service. He's giving you rest. He's giving you what your soul needs to be unburdened. Don't be one of those who wakes up too late, who panics and in the end runs after things that we don't truly need, misses the one thing we do need, Jesus himself. And secondly, Jesus teaches us to live by telling us the Father wants us yoked to Jesus. This is the invitation. And this is a great way to live your life. In fact, it's really the only way to live your life. The truth is, you're going to be yoked to something or another. You're either going to be yoked to Jesus, or you're going to be yoked to what? You can be yoked to money and the burdens it gives. Right? Greed. You could be yoked to lust, and it can take you really down the wrong road and burden your life terribly. You can be yoked to your own pride. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know what life's about. You know, I'm always right. There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, and its way is to lead you to death, from the Proverbs. You can be linked to another person, and no one should be idolized. No one holds the key to your salvation. Not your spouse, not a friend. You're to love your spouse, but you're not to idolize them. You're to be yoked to Jesus Christ. And if you're yoked to those other things, you know what you're going to discover? The burden will increase and increase and increase. People who are yoked to money find that money becomes a great burden to them. They're either spendthrifts or they're hoarders and skinflints, you know, and it's all they think about, and it adds troubles to their life. So if you're having trouble in your marriage with money, right now, you can be free of it. You can know a rest. Don't be yoked to it. Jesus is inviting us to be yoked with him, to work in concert with him. And what's more, he will lead. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, because he'll bear much more of the load than you do. The old Clydesdale horse illustration serves us well here. The average Clydesdale can pull 7,000 pounds. You put two Clydesdales together, and they can pull 18,000 pounds. Are you good at math? right? But if you train them and they pull in tandem in a correct way, they can pull 25,000 pounds. To me, there's a lesson in this. You're connected to Jesus. You're yoked to Him. And He's leading you, and you can do amazing things. You can more than pull your weight. You can pull a lot of other people's weight. Jesus stands today with His yoke upon Himself. He's calling each and every one of us to be yoked to Him. He'll set the pace, and He knows the direction. And though He is so much greater than we are, He acts humble and in a gentle way toward us. Now, there's a final thing Jesus teaches us in this lesson, teaching us how to live by giving us a purpose. Let me ask you a question. Are you living an important life? Maybe I should phrase it a different way and ask you, are you about important things? Are you about important things? In other words, what are your priorities? So many people today, maybe a majority, deal with petty things all their life, with trivial things. Their time and energy is given to things that really don't matter. But they give their life to that. You know what the Word of God says? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. What are all those things? All those things we worry about. Food and clothing and money and all those things. In that verse, what He's saying to you is, if you want to live an important life, seek God. When you seek God, you're going to be about important things. That's it. That's the equation. It's really true. Seek God, you're going to be doing important things. And all those things that gets you all stirred up, everybody's stirred up, God says, and I'll provide all those things. Just seek Me first. Boy, is that powerful. And it makes life amazing. Because what you're going to find is that you'll have more energy when you're driven by the same purposes that Jesus was driven by. Jesus, the one who died, Jesus, the one who rose for us, is right now before us. He already bears His side of the yoke. His invitation is clear. It is wonderful. It is significant. It's important not to be missed. Say yes to the one who has already said yes to you. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. In the name of Jesus and to His glory, amen. Amen.